There's a reason behind every call. It may not be so obvious to you. You may just be entertained, but there's a deposit. If you don't see spiritual development as a goal, it will end as a desire and a wish. People can be comfortable discussing anything around you because they know you can afford to swallow it. Hello, you're welcome to another edition with us on the Liberis. My name is Ferdinand. Thank you for making an attempt to listen to what we share. Today, I want to share with you on something that is quite important when it comes to spiritual growth and development. You know, there was a point in my life when I had struggles with spiritual consistency, and I've met people who have had similar situations. You know, you want to love God, you want to stay stable, you know, you want to keep a pace with God, you want to grow. You go for programs and services and seminars, and then after a week or so, you find that you are reverting back to the default lukewarm believer you are. You actually have a true desire to walk with God, but somehow it happens that you can't explain why you keep struggling, you know, rising and falling. It was my situation, and I've heard so many people narrate their own experiences. I've talked with people who have experienced the same thing. So I've decided to share this with you. You know that at every point in your life, whatever you express, whatever you say, whatever you do, is not a result of your immediate environment. It's not a result of your immediate input from anything. It's a result of a collective influences that have passed through your life or you've passed through that make up who you are. Generally speaking, I said at every point in time, whoever you are is a result of a collective experiences in the past. Yeah, decisions are there, environments are there, but it's a result of a cumulative effect of your past experiences. You may not be aware of all the factors that have influenced or affected your disposition at a particular point. You may be able to name a few, but not all. Now, you may not be conscious at a time of all the factors that are accumulating in you, the influences they are depositing. You may be aware sometimes, but there are times you are not conscious of the fact that what you're exposing yourself to is leaving deposits in you. And now these deposits are going to collect in you with or without your permission. Now, because the average person is just living and then is not taking conscious the steps to stop the influence of certain things going into them. So at every point, at any point in time, what we express, the words we speak, the disposition we have, the ideologies we express, our value system, our mental disposition, our spiritual state, all are results of cumulative influences we've been exposed to or we've been subjected to or we've practiced over time. So nothing is a result of accident. Nothing is a result of, you know, accidental event. Like I said, it does not matter whether we are conscious of the influences they are dropping. As long as the portals are open, as long as our funnels are open, they are actually living deposits. As long as we're exposed to certain influences, they are living deposits. If you really understand this, this is one of the secrets to intentional spiritual growth. If you don't get deliberate with things that you expose yourself to, you will continually have struggles with spiritual consistency. I have been there. Many people have been there. So you want to serve God. God knows you love Him. You want to serve Him. But you're exposed to a blend of negatives, a blend of evil, good, all manner of things. So you can actually not be able to have a pure stream of influence. So definitely, if you don't checkmate what comes in, you are going to remain at the struggling state. Now, let's go to the scripture. Luke chapter 6:45. Luke 6:45. You know, it's a common scripture that we all know. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I checked this with my mobile dictionary. It says that the word treasure there means deposits over time. Now that means to say a good man out of the good deposits over time of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil deposits over time of his heart bringeth out that which is evil. And the word abundance, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The word abundance, they actually translate surplus. It means superabundance. In other words, it's something that you cannot exhaust at one sitting. It's something you cannot exhaust in the immediate time. So, you know, from the little, from the deposit over time, you have a collection that you cannot exhaust at one time. So you may not be conscious of these deposits. Even Jesus, when he was speaking, John chapter 7 verse 38, he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, out of the belly shall flow out. What is inside is what will come out. But first, if you go one step, you know, backward, verse 37, it says, first, the person has to come and drink. Because when you don't drink, you cannot give out. So out of the belly of he that has taken a drink, rivers of living water will flow out. What do we do about the contents that flow into our heart? Now we talk about filters. We talk about mounting guard. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep, if you check that word keep, the meaning there says to protect, keep an eye, to preserve from destruction, to watch unto preservation, to keep from evil, keep from harm, protect. So keep your heart, protect your heart, keep a watchful eye over your heart. The kind of things, the thoughts that well up, the thoughts that develop, the kind of mindsets that are gradually forming, taking shape, watch them. It says, for out of, you know, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Now the word there, issue, means to gush out, more like out of the heart are the fountain of life. Life flows from the heart. The things that go in determine the things that flow out. But then you say, keep a watch on the heart, on the things that go into the heart. How do you do this? We talk about filters. Now you see, when somebody has had some negative experiences in the past, they could use those experiences as benchmarks, as filters, as criteria to what they accept as regards to what they believe. These things form the belief systems of people. They form the value systems of people. And because of their belief system, their mindsets, their value system, they begin to usher in certain things into them. They begin to accept some kind of opinion. You know, so but then we as believers, it's not our experiences that will form our value system. It's the word of God that will be the filter. You get? So we use the word of God to back check everything that we accept into our hearts. You know, by using filters, consciously or subconsciously, you approve or disapprove the kind of things that are settling in your heart. Though they may enter your ears, they may pass before your eye, but you choose to decide whether they settle or not. You choose to meditate upon them. You choose to accept or reject them. It's an intentional part you have to play. You know, the things that trickle into your heart, maybe small ideas, little ideas here and there, small, you know, things you just expose yourself, little time you spent here, little time you spent there, you're just gathering trickles of negatives, trickles of positives, and you think it doesn't matter really, it's just a little influence, or probably it doesn't really matter, maybe that's just language you use. But you see, nothing leaves you the same. Nothing is neutral in effects. Nothing in itself is neutral to you. Because everything, every content has an intent. There's a reason behind every content. It may not be so obvious to you. You may just be entertained, but there's a deposit. And now, as these things deposit over time, they form the mindset, the opinion, the belief systems, you know, the value systems. That's why at every point in time, you are a result of so many things you've permissively allowed or actively received. You know, like I said again, no content is neutral in its sense. Whether it's a comedy session you watch, or you watch an R-rated movie, X-rated movie, or just a romance novel, it doesn't leave you the same. You may not immediately sense it. You may not sense the effect it leaves on you, but it does not leave you the same. Now, talking about some of the deposits that can happen to the heart of man, I just have basically three. The first one is like when there are deposits that are purely godly deposits. You know, you just expose yourself to things that are spiritually defined. The Word of God, the Bible, listening to tapes, you know, reading books, you know, engaging with believers, going to believers' meetings, and so many things. You are exposing yourself to godly content. And even when you listen to secular things, you backcheck them with godly values. Now, you are not just exposed to, you're not just open to just any opinion. No, you have a backcheck. The Word of God is working in you. You know, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom. Now, the thing is, when it does not dwell richly in you, you would actually compromise some of your value system. Some of your decisions will be watered down because of intellectual reasoning, not scriptural, you know, assertions. Now, number one, like I said, is purely holy things, when you are intentionally about about selective exposures, you are not just open to anything. Anything could pass before you, but you are not open to receiving or approving its settlement into your heart. Somebody may be asking, how do I approve or settle a thing? You know, sometimes you may have to verbally say, I choose. Okay, let me give an example. You know, there was a time I'm going to talk about that one of these is I'll talk about it, about struggles. I used to have struggles at some point in my life, and it was a serious problem. I had issues with pornography. That was over, I think, close to 15, 16 years ago. No, more than that. Far more than that. Now I realized that I had issues with that. But I got to a point that I realized that I could always choose God. And now when the pressure builds up, then I would just say, Lord, I choose you. You know I want to do your will. I choose you. Now, you may have to say it verbally. You may have to act it. You may have to do certain things that will prove you really choose God. The second category is about mixed materials. We talked about purely godly materials. Now, you see, mixed materials where we have majority of believers in. You have your playlist, a gospel song will finish playing, a secular song will continue, and then you finish what listening to a message. The next thing you're listening to one romance, you know, blend of rubbish, you know, things that are not censored. When I mean censored, they're not spiritually censored. You are taken by entertainment, not edification. You know, you just feel, I feel good with it. I'm okay with it. I don't really see anything wrong with it. You don't have to see anything wrong with it. It depends on what God has said about it. It depends on what you consider a spiritual target. If you don't see spiritual development as a goal, it will end as a desire and a wish. You will do nothing about it. And if you're going to chase a goal, you must definitely practice the discipline of refusal. You must definitely practice the discipline of, you know, selective involvement, engagement, selective exposure. You don't just get yourself available to anything. You don't just be passive. You have to be intentional. When we talk about mixed materials, we talk about in conduct, in words, in the kind of content you expose yourself to. The person is, today they talk about vulgar, tomorrow they are sober, the other day they are sounding social. No, so there's no, nobody can really say you are, people can be comfortable discussing anything around you because they know you can afford to swallow it, you know, that you are a believer and you're struggling to develop a walk with God. You must know when it is time to stand up and walk away. You must know when to stop a discussion. You must know when to change the flow of a conversation. You must know when to bid someone farewell and say goodbye. You must know when a conversation has stopped being productive. People should be aware that around you certain things don't thrive. But when you're just open to anything, it's a blend of evil and good. When you're in church, you're sober. When you're around guys, you're social. And then everything is just, everybody could just dump anything into you. Why wouldn't you be struggling to have a walk with God? When your doors are perpetually open, why wouldn't you be struggling? The devil can leave a content. God can leave a content. You are a blend of anything, open to anything. Now, the third category is purely ungodly stuff, you know, ungodly material. People, there are people that they make it clear they are not interested in the things of God. Now, this kind of people like this or exposures like this are purely anti-Christian. Now, the blend of the second one is also anti-Christian, but this one is clearly defined. I am against Christ. They are purely on God. Anytime you're around them, you leave, you have something to confess. You know that there's a stain somewhere. Your conscience has been stained. You need to confess something. So any friend, any environment, any situation you find yourself consistently exposed to this, it's something you need to make a decision about. Okay? Because if you want to have a spiritual walk with God, it has to be an intentional thing. Now, I want to talk about some few channels of growing your spiritual life consistently. Now, before I list a few of these, I want to say intentional spiritual growth should be taken as a goal. Now, when I say goal, it should go beyond this desire. It should go beyond the fact that, Lord, I'm interested in working with you. Lord, I love you. Lord, you know my heart is honest. Lord, it's true, you are honest, but beyond being honest, you need to be committed. You need to show some sense of interest, some sense of value. So if it means spending, investing in spiritual development, do it because you consider it a goal. Now, number one, I want to talk about the company you keep. 1 Corinthians 3:15 verse 33 talks about bad company corrupts good manners. You know, the kind of network of friends you have, if you really want to have a spiritual goal, then you have to review the network of influence, the kind of people that are around you, the people to whom you open your ears for influence, the people you give right to influence you. You get so, you can have, you may be, your colleagues at work may be ungodly people. Yes, you work with them, but you may not give them the permission to influence you, the core of your life, okay? So, to give people the right to influence you means you can easily believe them. That's what I mean. So, the network of people around you, it's something you should consciously make a decision about. Then number two, you should check the media content you expose yourself to, the kind of novels you read, the kind of text you read, social groups you join, you know, the kind of movies you sit to watch, the kind of audio content, music you play. You may need to go to your phone and delete some set of music, and then be intentional about the things that create atmosphere around you. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you are playing a gospel song, you know, there's a way song affects the soul of man. That tells you that no song is neutral. You may not be able to pick the signal it's leaving immediately, but no song leaves your soul the same. So the same thing, when you have a song that, you know, resonates with your spiritual appetite, sometimes if you notice that kind of thing, stay around that song. Let it be on your repeat. Play it often as much as you can. It tells you something. It's affecting your soul. It's affecting your spiritual life. It's affecting your spiritual life. You know, so these are things you have to be intentional about. Number three is your fellowship life with God. If you want to be intentional about your spiritual walk with God, you should make time for God. Make time for God. I mean it. Make time for God. You see, you may be busy trying to beat deadlines at work. You may be busy trying to please a manager, a husband, a wife, or somebody. But one thing is sure, in the fabric of your life, carve out a time that you know nobody tampers with this. Make time for your Lord. You know, it's only in Christianity that people take for granted the one they call Lord, because they don't understand the word Lord. You know, in Christianity, we just take things that God could just tolerate. And because of grace, we think God can take any shit from us. But notwithstanding, God still overlooks, hoping that one day we will understand the mystery of grace. But I tell you that grace does not make the devil weaker when you are being irresponsible. The devil will play football with you. You get so, but grace is actually an advantage. It's an advantage for you as a believer. So I want you to understand that you have to create intentional time for God. If it means traveling for a seminar, go. Educate yourself. If it means buying a book, go and get it. If it means attending a service, a program, a conference, go. Do it, because it's a goal. It's something you are planning to. If you were an academic student and you are hosting a seminar, you will pay transport. Go and pay registration, book a host, a hotel, and go there, because you think career depends on your academics. But now, because we don't see spiritual things as goals, we don't see spiritual things as goals that should be pursued, we take them as hobbies. But if you really want to have a walk with God, your intent for God will be beyond hobby, would be beyond desires. It will translate into a goal, a project you go for, and it will be a project for life. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is environment, the atmospheres. You know, when you check the book of Mark 4, 3 to verse 20, it talks about the sower, the parable of the sower. There was nothing wrong with the seeds, we all know. There were only things wrong with a different environment. So, the viability of your soul, of your spirit, yes, you have promises in scripture. Yes, God has provided so much for you. Yes, you mean a lot to God. Yes, in Christ you mean you are a giant, oh God. In Christ you mean so much. But you see, the expression of all that determines on the environment. When I mean environment, I'm not saying leaving one community to another community. I'm talking about the environment you create about yourself. You know, the atmosphere you are around, you are allowed to build and sustain around you. If it's you are surrounded by negative people, people who talk down on God, your faith will choke. If you are surrounded with people, an environment that godliness is being is prioritized, of course, it will be easier for you to ride. If you are surrounded with people who have a common desire to learn about God, to grow, your desire will be easily spurred to work. So your environment is critical. Then finally, I want to talk about, though, that's finally on my list, not finally, oh, it's just on my list. So I want to talk about habits. Now, when we talk about habits, habits are just like accustomed tendencies that require little or no, you don't require much motivation to trigger them. Things that you can easily slide into, things that you have little resistance to. If you could develop, you can intentionally create a habit. Yes, you can. You can, in fact, that's one of the secrets I used. Creating a habit to kill a habit for God that chokes a habit against God. Now, it may be difficult at the start because the flesh will definitely want to resist it. So you know that your desire to know God doesn't come from the flesh, but the flesh will resist every attempt to take an extra step towards God. You have to go against the tide, against the convenience of your flesh. Of course, you don't need the permission of the flesh. It will scream, it will want to say no. If you need to fast, go and fast. You can schedule one day fast a week, 2 days fast a week, 3 days fast a week. You can make it that every day I must pray 30 minutes, I must spend 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours with God, depending on how much you can afford. Now, it may not be convenient. So many things may come up to interrupt, but you can discipline yourself to observe this thing. There's something with consistency. Consistency builds capacity over time. Now, it also builds mastery and it develops habit. Now, if you want to have a walk with God, a consistent walk with God, be intentional about creating daily routines. Routines that are not religious. Routines that are intentional. I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. Just come to His presence. Oh, you open a scripture. It may not be that you are following a plan, a study plan. Or you may follow a study plan if it has to be. But if it means just coming in His presence to just worship, to just pray, to just reflect on His goodness, but whatever it is, it brings your attention back to God for that period. Now, when you come out, it's called devotion. Devotion means you are devoting yourself to a Lord. Now, in this sense, now by so doing, you find out that over time, your awareness and sensitivity to the things of God begin to rise. Actually, when we talk about sensitivity, we're talking about picking signals. You could know without God speaking what the Lord wants you to do for time. You could know when the Lord is not pleased over a matter. You would know that what I'm about to do, I shouldn't do. He may not say a word. But you know, you will come to the place where your spirit is so sensitive to the leadings of the things, the Spirit of God, that it will be easier for you to please Him on daily life. And when you do this thing for like two months, 3 months, you find out that it's easy for you to make it a lifestyle. The truth is, becoming consistent in spiritual growth and development cannot be achieved with you sitting down, crossing your legs, sipping a cup of coffee. You have to work. And when I mean work indeed. It's something that you have to break the norm. The norm being the system you've been running under that has kept you under struggle. Now you have to break that pattern and start a new pattern of living. You have to start a new lifestyle. You have to start a new set of... Now the truth is not about what you just stopped doing. It's about what you also start doing. Life is governed by the dynamics of different laws. And in spiritual development, the dynamics is this. You can't have two captains on one boat. We all know this is true. So if you want the reality of God to build up in you, then you must turn your eye to face God. And I bet you, when you look away from the sun, you won't see the shadows. And what you focus your eyes on begin to become more real to you. They become more real to you. And when you zoom in on a matter, it becomes your own reality. Now, the realities of God are not hidden. They are available to them that want to know. And I must tell you the truth. Developing a consistent spiritual life is not a mystery. Okay, to wrap up everything I'm saying, I must tell you, you have to be intentional about your exposures, your indulgences, the things you indulge yourself into, the things you go for, the things you have the practice of no to. Don't forget, it's not just about saying yes to God. You have to discipline yourself to say no to the appetite and desires of the flesh. Don't forget, it's not about just saying yes to God. You have to also practice the discipline of refusal, the discipline of saying no and standing by it to the desires of the body. My name is Ferdinand, and I'll come your way next week. Thank you for sharing this moment with us. We hope that this is a blessing to you. Now, if you want to join us on Facebook, our Facebook page is called Liberous Gospel. Check facebook.com/endtimequest. Click, you're going to find us there. God bless you. Till I come your way next week, remain blessed.
light bearers. Kindle the flame, stay aflame.